American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day! It's Sean Kennedy reporting from the Internet for Monday, January the 18th, 2010. You are listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit-Red on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your head, space, and timing. Hey, you only have 607... Well, what's 365 times 2, Sim? 365 times 2, January...
730.
You only have 730-ish shopping days until the apocalypse. What is it? Because we have to actually... Can somebody get me a count for when to the next apocalypse is before I'm done the intro, please? That would be great, because then we're going to be listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global State Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. And you can follow up on all these news stories, and you can check my facts by going to my live journal. And you can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk, Red Mercury SE, SRN1, Wild Bunch Radio, KJAG Radio, Osprey Networks, Creek Radio, iTunes, Podcast.com, Podcast Alley, and every Thursday night, if you care to show up, we're in Second Life Node Archers, grid 1557-4666, Second Life Node Archers. That's where you want to go. And if you were to be, so inclined, you would be here. Oh my gosh, more people showed up. We got Acer, Anthony, Oi, Off, Baldy, who built this place, Bashrad, Karzan, Damion, Don, Fenway, Fuchikoma, Greg Universe, Heavy Metal, Cade, Kimi Sahara, Kobayashi, Kung Fu Lemon, Laura Chen, Lauren Law, Morps, thank you very much for the last minute help with the daily hack, Plump Dragon, RU486, and really, it's more Rubenesque Dragon, C. Omai, Smurf Ort, Spider Mike, Sporadic E, and Yukasaki. A very full night here tonight inside of Second Life. Which is always a good time if you want to come in here and check it out. Because honestly, you're going to need to get good at these kinds of skills, because that's what Web 3.0 is going to be after Web 2.0 once they figure up what the augmented and reality is. Well, what we do with the pirate radio thing, of course, is we're going to take augmented reality and we're going to make it augmented reality. And it'll be so much better because it'll be free and you'll only do it with an eye patch. So that'll be your augmented, your augmented reality feed. So, you know, 2010, it's so far, how's your 2010 working out, Samarian? Who's my beautiful and talented co-host?
I feel like I'm in the future. It's 2010.
You know, I've got my leather jacket.
Especially when we do this show.
You know.
Especially when we do this show, I feel like I'm in the future because of all the crazy stories that are always on this show. Yeah, the katana and the leather jacket standing on the street corner fighting off the water stream from the police's police hose.
Seriously, all you have to do is change the lighting. Make it at night keep the crowd levels the same and ta-da, it's a cyberpunk city.
Yeah, nice,
we need like just a
nice
bit more neon.
Blue filter, a green filter, throw that on there. You're in the future. Throw
some
spikes on your shoulders.
Yeah, once we get the
LEDs
that put out light, like the light-emitting LEDs that so that all advertising is like moving posters, so every flat surface is a television, you know, except for like concrete pillars and shit like that. That's when that'll be the other part of it. That'll be really good.
Oh, I'm sure they'll be wanting to do that. All the advertising companies would love to change every surface into an advertising space. Rent out your house now.
Well, there's
money
those,
could be made.
Well, there's the guys who drive around and if you they give you money if you let them like vandalize your car, right? If you let them tag your car with like craft
That's
dinner
right.
and stuff like that. You know, so you
if
drive
you
around
be a
with
walking
I like
billboard.
Oscar Mayer wieners on my car. They'll give me because you have no. Well, I think they even give you a say like what you're going to pimp out, so you're not going to have like Buddy's truck selling women's underwear or something like that. Which, you know, if I had a truck, I'd
Maybe.
Totally be selling women's underwear. You know, if I was going to advertise, well, I mean, you know, hey, on one level, who cares?
Why
do you get a truck? Function over form. Who cares? If I can afford a truck because they'll let me put this big picture on the side, who gives a crap? You know, but, you know, you don't really get that.
Why not sell out? It happens every day.
Well, yeah, why not have it good for a change? Yeah. What's the threat?
All you have to do is sell your soul, Sean.
Yeah.
It's a small price to pay for
who
freedom.
Who cares? Who fucking cares? It's God, Sean, you're becoming a sellout. So what if I am? They go where they want. They do what they want. It's like that movie Newsies. Not Newsies. Was it Newsies? No. Nazi Germany. They were the swing kids. Swing kids. That was actually kind of a fun movie. It's kind of overly dramatic in a few sections, but it was a neat neat film when it came out. Did you ever see it?
No. No, I don't think I did. No.
Oh, good date movie. Good date movie. It's a date movie that doesn't suck. No, seriously, it's hard to find date movies that don't suck, right? You're a guy.
I'm married. I don't go on dates anymore.
Well, you better. You better take her on dates, otherwise she will get bored with your ass. You know what
I mean?
We go
on a date all the time. Every day is a date.
I
talked with her about that. She cringes at the word date. Oh, we have to have a date night. Date night. That's for people
just,
with kids,
she's just
okay?
From being
that's
single.
For people
that's
who have to block an hour off a week.
Yeah.
That's for people who have to block off an hour a week to get away from their children. That's a date night.
I love the venom in his voice when he says, children. You gotta
children
be careful.
Spitting,
that...
spitting phlegm from my mouth, spewing all over my screen. Children.
You're going to wreck that beautiful new microphone you got with all the slobber when you say children.
Yeah, I know. I've got a fuzzy protector on it, so.
Oh. Take your fuzzy protector off. Yeah, it's what is the mic for all the audiophiles listening to the show?
Well, it's an AKG C214, not their top of the line, but a low-end professional mic that gives a smooth voice to my broadcasts.
Well, that's what I need. I think I need the because what does the top of the line model do? You know, does it automatically come with
it empties
singers?
Your bank account?
I want like the beautiful, you know, like the jazz. I don't even know how to describe it because how do you say you want your backup singers to be those mega hot black chicks that you saw in the 60s movies? Because that sounds so incredibly politically incorrect to say that, but whatever. You know, it's my Canadian side coming up. But yeah, you know, everybody knows that doo-wop, and they all got they look like they're just amazing with the beehive hair.
Yes.
And they're backing up like those guys. Just pick your guys that they're backing up because it was like the same chicks as the backup. I want those guys. And you just like, hi, welcome to wherever. What would you like today? I'd like a large coffee. You'd like a large coffee. You know, on everything you say, you know, oh, it'd be great. You know, and that way it'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm not home. You know, it'd be awesome. And you could just groove your way to your life. It'd be just like permanent Motown.
Soundtrack to your life.
I'm telling you, wherever you
groove.
Well, and once you're really making the money, then you got the go-go dancers. Too, right? So you got like the go-go dancers and
the whole street crew following you down wherever you go.
Well, this is what happens when really uncultured people get money. And you see that sometimes with the dot-com thing, like the guy's got millions of dollars and built like a Japanese village that he lives in his own like culture. Like how crazy has he gone? You know, or the rich dudes who buy like the actual submarines. Like there's a company down in California, right? They build submarines for rich assholes. Buddy at Microsoft, I'm going to say Bomber, Steve.
Oh,
Bomber,
you're just jealous.
Hideously.
Want a submarine too.
Hideously, hideously jealous. Not even denying it. Oh my God, the jealousy burns inside of me with the intensity of 1,000 suns, man. Like it's, what are you kidding?
Of course, yeah.
Like my intestines cringe at the jealousy that I feel for that. But, you know, yeah. And these, but how crazy would I be? That's the point. You know.
Oh, full on crazy.
Oh, I mean, if you've got
you
a submarine.
Surround yourself with yes men.
Yeah, because then you have that point, the conversation you have with people who don't know you, right? You meet people and you're like, you should come to my submarine. And they're like, ha ha ha. And then you're like talking about these adventures you're going to do when you're going to go to New Guinea and stuff like that. And they're like, ha ha ha, you're so crazy. God, you're funny. And then, you know, you open up the top and there's the submarine. And they're like, they look at you and their eyes get a little bit wider and they go, oh my God, you're serious. And, you know, and they're like, hey, you're really going to do this. And they're like, yeah, I am. And so are you. Get the fucking submarine. You know, and
you've got a life-size portrait of yourself on the side of it, giving the thumbs up.
Oh, no. That, I would never go that far. I would, however, have a completely politically incorrect pinup girl on the side of the submarine, a la 1945 yeah. bomber tattoo. And
all posed in short shorts, yeah, leaning back.
Yes, yeah. yeah. Or actually, I have found a really good one of a scuba diver one, which I thought was completely, like, you know... That was one of the ones that Shipwreck had that his pants covered. Seriously, it was just I'll have to find it, Baldy. I haven't got it handy, but yeah, bug me for it. It's an amazing piece of pinup art. It's kind of tattoo material. But anyway, I think Giant Submarines rule. Which reminds me of just recently, I bought a movie on a whim. I've been working my way through because we talk about film.
Okay.
A lot, and I bought a movie yep. on a whim. I've been working my way through James Bond. Right? Feeling kind of down.
Yes, that's correct.
And
yep, you're loving James Bond.
James Bond movies pick me up. You know, they're just completely yep. ridiculous. After watching, I think it was Thunderball, where Sean Connery, I was talking about, he just beats the heck out of women throughout the whole movie. He's like smacking chicks all over the place. It's ridiculous.
yes.
Oh, yep. Like, there's no way that movie would get made today. Like, no chance.
No.
Yeah, and like, the sexism, holy crap. I mean, it's funny, but it's not. You know, like, I'm laughing at it now because yeah. it's retarded, right? But, you know, holy shit.
It was
know.
Made a long time ago. It's okay that I'm watching it now.
<That's>, yeah.
Break out the blackface movies.
Not so much. But, you know, they're still legal, and you can still get the James Bond movies, so I highly recommend that you pick up the, the collection I got it for cheap, was, yeah. it was the DVD one, right? Because DVD's on its way out now, right? So you can pick up DVDs yeah. on the cheap, big time. And
that's right. Get ready for 3D Blu-rays, boys and girls.
3D Blu-ray? What?
Yeah. Now they're going backwards compatible to Blu-rays right now, so you can buy them right now. And when you upgrade to the 3D television, you can play them.
Well, you know what, man? Like, I'm just gonna wait and start saving money. And by the time I have like $50,000 saved up, I'll just buy like the head jack, and I'll you can have all your old tech, and I'll just be like, holy cow, man! You're not seriously gonna like go and do that, are you? I mean, that's ridiculous. It's like watching
shoot
up with that kind of stuff.
You'll have to wait. I'll have to wait a couple years before jumping to the 3D television.
Yeah, I would think.
They already have. They already have stations.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Have to give it a couple years, right?
But anyway, on your TV, you know, you have a collection of films, and you and I, our movie tastes are actually very, very different. You know, we should do a movie review segment of the show, or if we ever.
Oh yeah.
You know, go ahead.
Our tastes do cross over, but we do have. Divergent tastes in some aspects, yes.
You want to come up a little bit warmer? Actually, no, never mind, Sim. Never mind. I'm lying to you.
Am I too quiet? Or
no,
am I
you're not.
Out?
You're fine. Don't touch anything. You touched something,
okay,
didn't you?
Good.
Don't touch anything.
No, I didn't touch anything.
Like, don't you touch anything, you filthy monkey. No, the movie, so I was working my way through. Oh, I got the Ultimate James Bond Collection, which is pretty authoritative, I got to say.
Ultimate.
No, it's ridiculous. Yep. There's like a production movie on there from the Ford Motor Company. Like, I didn't realize just how crazy James Bond fans are. Like, I don't think, like, you know how everyone knows Star Trek fans are pretty crazy, right? They've got, like, the people who can sing and Klingon and drag, and they made movies about the fans and stuff like that. Dude, you could make movies about James Bond fans, like, no problem, that make Trekkies look kind of tame. Like, some of the stuff I've seen that they've been able to capture, like, oh, my God. I'm not even that into James Bond. I just enjoy the movies, but wow, it was crazy.
Well, there's quite a few of them. There's 22 movies, so there's a lot to draw from.
Well, depends. You know, they say that then you get the aficionados who say Never Say Never Again was not a James Bond movie because he wasn't licensed.
Because
no,
it wasn't.
It wasn't licensed. He went rogue. He made a rogue James Bond movie. That's how retarded that is. That's the dumbest thing ever.
Wow.
That's the stupidest thing ever. If they had James Bond movies, if they had Sean Connery, Pierce Brosnan, and Roger Moore concurrently making James Bond movies, everyone would go see all three movies. Because the first thing you want to do after you're done watching one James Bond movie is watch another James Bond movie. They are more addictive and habit-forming than crack. They're the worst kind of drug, really. Like, just say no to James Bond. Yeah, oh, it's so bad. And it just gets you going. Like, I just watched the one where Q retired again, and I almost cried, seriously, when Q, you know, goes through the floor, and then he died, I think, even before the premiere came out. But he was old. I mean, in that one, they were helping him with his lines, like, 10 minutes before the set kind of thing. Like, 15 takes kind of deal. And,
line!
Yeah, seriously, like, that's where it was. And he pulled it off, and you gotta love him, you know, they barely got him off the set, right? But anyway, but the other movie that I picked up on just a whim, because I hadn't seen it in a long time, was Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And I haven't, a fun movie.
I haven't watched that in forever. I remember when I first watched it, I didn't like it. I was like, well, that wasn't really what I expected. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was like, eh. That movie, I watched it a second time, you know, like 10 years later, and oh my God, is that, that's like... I don't think I could watch it with you, Sim. I think I will loan it to you to watch because it's actually... I, like, identify so much with the movie, it's ridiculous. But essentially...
I have seen it, so you don't... It's okay. I have seen it.
Yeah, but Steve Zissou is, like, got it all figured out, man. That guy's got it going on. You know, that's the future of my life right there. That's what I want.
Yeah.
I want to be Steve Zissou. Oh, yeah, for sure. Are you kidding me? That guy... he's the king, man. And it's attainable.
Yeah, he's an underwater adventurer.
Well, no, he's not even underwater. He's just, you know, a drunk burnout is what he is. But he's awesome.
Okay. That's your life's goal, drunk burnout.
A drunk burnout with his own helicopter and private island and a yacht. Yeah, yeah, I'm on.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, there's a trade-off, I guess. Yeah,
yeah, whatever. Yeah. Well, that way you're just going to be... You know, anyway, well, Hunter Thompson was a drug addict who shot himself, right? So what do you...
That's true,
You know, I mean, William S. Burroughs was a heroin junkie, right? So there's a... Everyone's got...
But
their
had
sin.
A cool voice.
Yeah, he did, yeah. His brain was a little bit weird, too. But anyway, I just wanted to say, I picked up that whole Steve Life Aquatic DVD. Oh, my God. If you haven't seen Life Aquatic in a little while... Like, watch it again. If you weren't sure the first time, watch the second time. Probably one of the highest repeat value movies ever. And I have the Criterion Collection version of it. I picked it up. Yes,
yeah,
so I have.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I picked up the Criterion one, and it's very nice. It's very nice. So I would I would recommend picking that up. So I've got some feedback here. Hello,
okay.
Sean and Sim. I've got some interesting feedback. I have a strong belief that mental meds are bullshit. Now, understand this is a letter from a fan. This is not necessarily the views that I have. Hello, Sean and Sim. I have a strong belief that mental meds are bullshit. I'm just commenting on the person who commented about having suicidal thoughts because of the medicine they were taking. This was on the last few couple shows. Word of advice, stop taking it. My younger years, I had some problems like that. I realized it's nothing more than what you put in your body as a result of the doctors had me on a lot of meds at once. Including Effexor, Ritalin, Ambien, Zoloft, and Seroquel. I felt like a guinea pig, and I felt like a confused zombie. So I stopped taking it. Of course, I got in trouble for not taking them, but that's all right. But it's all right. You know,
Well,
not really. It's better... You're in the canvas hug me code. It's not all right. It's better to be off those crazy meds that lead you... led to make you believe that there's something wrong with you. There's not. You're a human being. It's natural to go through that. Fix your daily life. Work out. Go to school. Be social. Eat and have an active lifestyle. Best choice of my life was to stop taking meds. If you do have problems sleeping and normal social problems, I do have problems sleeping and normal social problems, but I deal with it. It's better that way, whoever you are. Stop depending on meds to fix your life. You can do that just fine. And that was sent in by Elizabeth. Which is a very commanding name. I wanted to comment. I've always liked that name, Elizabeth. All the Elizabeths I've ever met have been beautiful, beautiful women. Every single one.
Because it's not Liz, it's not Beth, it's Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Right? You know, and even Liz's or Ellie's or Lizzie's or you know, whatever. I think isn't Betty? No, Betty isn't. Betty's
maybe. Yeah, it could be a derivative of it. Like Beth, Betty,
maybe.
Bethany.
Bethany,
you know, all those
that.
Things.
But, yeah, I mean, Elizabeths are hot, you know. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Liz is everywhere. Shouts out to all the Liz's. and now, the thing is, though, that there's a lot of things that you have to be careful of when you're talking about meds. A lot of these meds, like these Zoloft and stuff like that, they're designed by doctors and by billionaire pharmaceutical companies to, like, make you chemically dependent on them. There are drugs that are not addictive, and by not addictive, they do not produce. I don't want to cite on this, but I believe when there's an addiction involved, in order for something to be considered to be addictive, there's certain chemical things that have to occur. Like if you stop taking it, there's some sort of a physiological change. Versus, you know, things that are considered to be habit forming, which are, you know, purely a psychological basis. And habit forming stuff can be just as addictive and just as dangerous as anything that's physically addictive. The difference is that the habit forming stuff sucks really bad and you want to die and you want to kill yourself when you get off of, whereas the addictive stuff can actually kill you getting off of it. Okay, and that's physically your body will die. Okay, if you do that. So you got to be careful with this stuff. And a lot of these meds, their burnout cycle, like when you're getting them out of your system, you start getting violent or aggressive. And so if you're all shot up on a bunch of different pills, you've got to sort of, you know, cut them off one at a time, and you got to make sure you get some help.
You got to know the right way to get off of them. Yeah,
because if you don't, and because you got on these things for a problem, and you know the pills didn't solve anything, so now you got two problems. Now you got the original problem you had, and now you've got a drug dependency on these pharma-fascist bastards who've hooked you on the stuff, right? So now, you know, and there's hope for you. You know, you'll make your way out of it. Sleep heals all wounds. You know, clean water, clean up your diet, start to cut things back, and eventually, you know. Write yourself one day at a time and go from there. There's all kinds of books. Any book on quitting any kind of substance will work for any other kind of substance. Okay? If it doesn't, buy another book. Hit any thrift store. They're full of books on how to quit addictions. Right? I mean, you could walk in there, walk up to the till, say, I'm taking this book on how to quit drugs. And they'll say, you have fun with that. And, you know, that'd be it. Like, no one's ever going to burn it. I'd love to see the cop who busts the junkie for stealing a book on quitting drugs. You know, that'd be an interesting. Oh, that would be an interesting. Mind you, you know, nothing's impossible. You know?
That's for sure.
Especially in this day and age, you know. But
I mean, if the side effects are worse than the original symptoms that you're having, get off of them.
Well, I don't trust. I mean, no one's interested in curing anything, right? There's no money in a cure.
God,
that's why we still got cancer. There's no money in a cure. There's only money in treatment.
They take pride in how many people that are on their drugs. They love it. They love the numbers.
They
don't want to cure people. They want people on their drugs indefinitely till they die, birth to death.
Right. You know, cradle to grave, we got you right the way through. I can't think about it too much because I start getting super, like, cynical and, like, you know, goths can't stand, like, I start drawing goths towards me. They start flying towards me and I become this dark ball of cynicism and, like, the goths' paths, the event horizon, are swallowed by the darkness.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Nico, we understand, Sean. Come
totally.
To us.
Yeah, and I just become uber cynic. Okay, so before we go that far, I got a message here from Spin Doctor, which is pretty neat. You know, Sean, as a guy from Ontario, it is constantly a joy hearing your perspectives, which I wonder, as a guy from Ontario...
That doesn't make any sense.
No, I think it makes perfect sense. As a guy from Ontario, you know, have you ever met any guys from Ontario? You know, do you know any Ontario guys?
I do, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I have my brother-in-law.
Yeah. They're generally good people.
I guess you really speak to the Ontarian... guys,
well, it's where the rest of Canada is, right? They're not on the prairies.
It's true.
You know, I mean, there's definitely West Coast, and then the East Coast of Canada is just trying to get to Ontario, you know, because they got no job, right? So that's where everybody's trying to get to. Is pretty much they've got the other front. You know, that's the wild, you know, like Conan would come from Ontario. You know, Grizzly Adams lives over there. Conan would come from Ontario. It could be argued with the mountains, but I've never really thought of Conan as being a mountain dweller. Anyway. That is a different story. But anyway, as a guy from Ontario, it is constantly a joy hearing your perspectives. This is one of the greatest love me emails ever. You have such a capacity to change our country. What? Whoa. You are, in my opinion.
Whoa.
You are, in my opinion.
Elect Sean now.
No, wait for it. Wait for it. It gets better. You are, in my opinion, the new high society. You occupy a higher level of discourse than academia, the mainstream profit-driven media, or the massive inter-social net. As Noam Chomsky is the verbal ninja, you are a rational ninja. Oh, would you, could you request your fans to create an internet flash cartoon from your program that is similar to Homestar Runner? Your voice with a variable visual impression medium, I believe, could catch on a level of society's routine saturation that you, potentially, could become a Canadian icon. Also, as a fellow Canadian, I feel like you would make such a good media darling during the Vancouver Olympics. Why not? As the eye of the world falls upon the part of the grid that you patrol, get in the faces of the cameras and of as many tourists coming to your city as possible. What would be a most excellent time to get a team of WOGs to act as a Canadian goodwill ambassadors to all the visitors from around the world? Control the spin, or the spin will control you. Be well and party on. Well,
Let's do it, Sean. Let's go up the mountain and stick a camera in your face and attack the tourists.
Let's see. Yeah, well, it'll rapidly turn into one of those escape and evasion exercises, I'm afraid.
I think it would.
Not so good. I appreciate what you're saying. Thank you very much. It's always lovely. I don't mean to belittle anybody who's a fan. I enjoy fans very much because, you know, you generally want to be the person your fans think you are. But honestly, if the world wants me, it knows where to find me. All right? Like, I'm probably the easiest dude to find in the world, okay? I'm not really...
decent-sized footprint on the internet,
You know, and let me tell you, I've got no interests in, Olympics Uberalis over here and these psycho-elitist bastards who are taking over my city. I really am upset with the whole Olympic thing. I think it's the most hideous
kind of bullshit
ever.
Surrender your city to us.
Do you know what they're charging for tickets? They're charging like $30,000 and $40,000 for tickets, apparently. Have you heard about this? The prices? Oh,
probably like... opening ceremony and gold hockey, you know, playoffs and stuff for the best seats. People who are bought them early and selling them on eBay and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, no, but, like, dude, come on. You know, nobody local in the city is going there. Nobody's... nobody. I mean, nobody from Vancouver is going to be in the Olympic Stadium. Like...
They're so sick of it taking over the town and disrupting our
daily
activities.
Well, they can't afford it, dude. Nobody can afford it.
Oh,
nobody
that's
can afford
true,
tickets.
Yeah.
Nobody can afford
they
tickets.
They all think we're millionaires because every house is worth $2 million in Vancouver.
This
when
is
in
the
fact,
ultimate...
everybody hasn't moved in 5 years and they're just rich, like house rich.
Well, to be fair, and of course, you know, a lot of people got families. And to be fair, though, honestly... don't you think that this is, like, the Olympics are the ultimate dog show? Have you ever been to a dog show, you know, and everyone comes there and they admire
I've seen
the
them
dogs?
On television. It's very funny.
No, you should go to one. You should really go to a dog show because that's what the Olympics is. It's a massive, massive dog show where they take these kids who have, you know, committed their lives on a level of commitment that nobody involved in VanOck or any of these can possibly understand. Like, there's a few athletes who've kind of, like, as you would say, have sold out and have gone that route and stuff like that, and they've given up, you know, the trial and all that. And I have a deep respect for the athletes, an unbelievably deep respect for anyone who would even compete. You know, I mean, my God, the commitment that takes is unwavering. So don't
in any way
think that this has got anything to do with the athletes. That is not the case. The Olympics, what they become, I mean, you know, they are an elitist thing. I mean, the Nazis liked them. You know, they were all cool with it. You know, everybody was cool with the Olympics. You know, I don't know, man. The whole thing just seems... like a dog show. You go there and they run around in a circle and then they grade them and they appraise them and they make them do trials. And then they stand up on a little podium and that dog gets the trophy and he gets a treat and everything's cool. And the whole thing is just like, I don't know, the whole thing just seems a little bit, you know, any possible way that you could make money from the Olympics, they have. You know, they've totally polluted
it. Oh, God,
yeah. It's saturated with, can you think of something more commercialized than the Olympics? These
it's the most commercialized things I can think of. It's so brutal.
These goddamn pimps running these kids, making money hand over fist. You know, and it's a good point. Maybe Christmas, but I don't know. I mean, Christmas still has, you know, some good stuff there. I would say that the Olympics has been more...
At least everybody gets presents at Christmas.
Yeah. Pretty much.
We just get screwed.
Yeah, you know. And of course, you're not paying for Christmas, you know, one Christmas for 25 years, you know, generally.
Yeah.
Unless you really
try to make
it
back.
poor spending habits. But you know, thank you for the I love me email. Those are always nice. I like it when the internet loves me. Hey, you know what I should do is I should probably sit down. There we go. Okay, now.
That's right. Sit down. You're getting too excited.
You know, what are you doing? You're freaking out. You're getting everybody all terrified. Now, hello, Sean and Sim. Now, this is your sort yourself out. This is an interesting sort yourself out here. Is a WOG truly a jack of all trades? Or is a WOG a master of a specific skill set? What is the most important skills for a WOG to have given the time period in which we live? I know the WOGs wear a basic belt line kit that has a flashlight, lighter, multi-tool. And in your opinion, what is the belt kit, if you will, of the skills a WOG would use on a regular basis? Thank you very much, John. Well, the belt line kit, you know, that's sort of... assuming, you know, you're not going to a wedding or something, you know. I mean, you have to you have to make allowances for, you know, where you're going and stuff so you don't stand out too much. I believe, honestly, that the number one skill, to answer your question, the master of being the specific skill set, if there was one skill that would over-dominate any other skill for what I believe a WOG should have, it would be the ability to adapt. It would be the ability to adapt to his environment, to his surroundings. Because if you can adapt, you can survive. If you cannot adapt, you will die. The Tyrannosaurus Rex was awesome. It was wicked. It was the coolest thing ever. Couldn't adapt, though. So you know what? It died. I'm kind of bummed about that.
Yeah.
But the Z-Rex, never forget. Never forget. If you don't adapt, you will die. Also, what does that mean, Sean? Okay, so I have to adapt. Yes, that means you must be mentally flexible. And what goes hand in hand with that is not the skills that you have. What you know is actually not that important. What you know is not that important. What does matter is how fast you can learn, which is why it's so vital that you read daily. That is something that is so important for people to do, is to read for at least, like, if you can read for an hour every day, you'll notice, like, I'm able to run and exercise, but I have not been able to attain my psychological fitness levels of being able to read for an hour every day. I mean, it's hard to do anything for an hour every day. I mean, Sim, you don't read for an hour every day, and don't give me that shit about on the computer I'm reading social.
I do. At night, I do.
You got a book and you're reading?
Right before bed. Yeah, I do.
Oh, do you? Well, now I suck. Yeah. I suck. You should totally be posting that. You should be posting that.
I just made it through Dawkins' latest book, and now I'm reading a philosophy book.
Dude, you need to be posting that. You need to be posting that.
Well, it's not
that.
Very excited. We read two chapters.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. If I do it, I'm going to be doing that. Because you know what? You need to encourage people to read. Because everybody wants to read. But nobody has any time. And we all have the same bullshit excuse. Oh, we all know this. We know we're supposed to be reading. And the reason why it's important we read is so that your brain gets used to taking in information that way. If your brain is used to taking information in that way, you will be able to assimilate skills faster than a person who does not read that often. Not everyone can read for 5 hours a day. Okay? Your baud rate of putting things into your head right now comes from reading. So if you can lube up the channels to get info into your head, reading is the best way to do that. So, in summary to your question, I would say that, like Bruce said, you know, be like Watar, my friend. Check out some of the stuff Bruce Lee was talking about for fitness and whatever. Some of his philosophies, they changed my life. And I would also really recommend that you begin to read and work on your ability to learn. Because really, no matter what you know will be irrelevant in a given period of time. So,
exactly.
You have to be able to learn and to adapt very quickly. And as for the last thing, and this will be the final word on gear, by the way. The ultimate gear, the ultimate piece of kit which you want to have, is like a bullet. You know, like bullets. People say bullets and they understand that it's a collection of single bullets. But what I'm going to say, that the number one piece of kit that you should accumulate is not bullets. It is dollars. People need to be very, very concerned about money. And we have a society and a media which tries to drive people away, drive people very, very far in debt at a very, very young age, so that you will be a slave for the rest of your life. okay? And it's going to require you to make some sacrifices and suffer now to have more later, and everybody knows that. But honestly, you need to be worried about cash. If you're making life decisions, make decisions that have a monetary bonus to it, okay? Because if you've got money, you've got options. If you don't have money,
right,
you don't have options. You know, that's just the way it is.
If you're out of money, they control you because they can tell you what to do because you don't have any say in it anymore.
You betcha, man. Dollars are the ammunition of the future, okay? You want to amass as many of them as you can because they're oh so much more useful and way more effective to get anything that you want. And that's a fact. And I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry that that is the way it is. I wish it wasn't that way. You know, I wish you could bank on the milk of human kindness. And I'm always really amazed when, you know, you do come across these stories where something decent happened and everybody feels good for a little bit. But for the long haul, man, the whole planet's pretty much a cold, hard road. So you better make sure that you got enough ammo, you know, is all I'm saying. And any 12-year-old who's played any sort of video games will tell you that. So we should probably do the news. After that cheerful little...
It's so happy.
Life ain't nothing but bitches and money. Kind of a little bit cynical there. Yeah, but you know.
Boo.
Boo. Boo to reality. Enough of that. Let's go to the news. In net news. Now, this came in from the EFF. Everyone will stop what they're doing right now and go do this. Last fall, the Federal Communications Commission proposed rules for net neutrality, a set of regulations intended to help innovation and free speech continue to thrive on the internet. But is the FCC's vision of net neutrality the real deal, or is it fake? Buried in the FCC's rules is a deeply problematic loophole. Open internet principles, the FCC writes, do not apply to activities such as the unlawful distribution of copyrighted works. For years, the entertainment industry has used that innocent-sounding phrase, unlawful distribution of copyrighted works, to pressure the internet... to pressure internet services providers around the world to act as copyright cops and to surveil the internet for supposed copyright violations and then censor or punish the accused user. From the beginning, the central goal of net neutrality movement has been to prevent corporations from interfering with the internet in this way. So why does the FCC's version of net neutrality specifically allow them to do so? Go to the Real Net Neutrality petition. Tell the FCC that if it wants to police the internet, it first needs to demonstrate that it can protect internet users and innovators by standing up to powerful industry lobbyists. Sign your name and demand that the copyright enforcement loophole be removed. Hey, I don't usually sign petitions, but you may as well do this one because you know what? It's not going to cost you anything, and you may as well, you know, you got to do something. You know, you got to do something. That's what that's a song I'm going to put on the end of Newsreel tonight is I'm an American, where, you know, while your rights were emancipated, you just surfed on the net and masturbated, you know. You got to do something, man. Even if it's just signing out a petition, what else are you going to do? You know, you may as well.
That's right.
So go on over there, have a look. Sam, I mean, you must have covered this already in your show. This is big news.
I did.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, EFF is...
It's too big to miss.
EFF is... It is too big to miss. EFF is fighting for your rights on the internet, so help them out just even a little bit to keep some of the rights that you have left on freedom on the internet, because
you know,
they're slowly being eroded away. Everything's being surveilled on the internet. You're going to have to go deep, deep undercover on the dark nets to traverse and get any sort of freedom of information before the internet turns into five big websites that all that you can visit is the five big ones, and everything else has gone to illegal zones of the internet because they've locked it down so much, and those people have bought the bandwidth by destroying net neutrality.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. So if that's what you want to do, and that's where you want to head, I mean, you know, there's those of us who are the ultimate cynics who believe that, well, we're screwed anyway. Well, look at, don't think of it like that. Don't think of it like that. EFF is kind of your giant parachute, so the more that it can slow your descent towards the jaggy rocket bottom of our future apocalyptic state, the better it will be. Maybe you'll land down there and not have your legs shattered in 15 places upon impact. Maybe the EFF will be able to slow that descent while all your friends thunder past while you try to keep yourself afloat. I mean, the EFF try to do good things. I don't agree with everything that they do sometimes. Actually, you know what? The EFF... I haven't seen anything that they've done that I don't agree with. But they're good people, and I think they're doing good work over there, and they should be supported. Because
yes.
I can't imagine anyone saying anything bad about them. Like, they...
they're amazing. Everything they do is awesome. The only people that hate them are the corporations.
I'm kind of a right-wing guy. There's a lot of guys, you know, who drive pickup trucks who'd probably agree with a lot of stuff that I say. So, you know, there's a lot of people who may not agree with the whole left-wing, you know, moonbat, EFF mentality type stuff.
I think you're thinking of the ACLU, not the EFF.
Well, they're kind of connected in some way, are they not? They sort of stand for the same sort of principles. You know, they're fairly left-wing.
I'm not sure.
I don't think...
Well, EFF's all about Electronic Frontier Foundation, not...
So they're not politicized, really, or what? Because I see the good works that they do, but I don't know about their actual political... Well, that's great. If they haven't been polarized to one side or the other, then that's even better still. You know,
nothing that I've seen that have come out of them has ever been polarized politically. It's always about protection of your disappearing rights on the internet and your freedoms with data, really.
Well, what's not to like? Get over there right now, exactly. Sign that petition, and help these guys.
Your data is yours. Help keep it yours.
Let's prevent thought crimes from becoming a reality. They're already a reality in Canada. Let's not make them a reality around the world. Okay, so in Decker News, now here's an interesting one. You remember that guy broke into the UFO database looking for UFOs? Said he found some stuff, and they were going to, like, shoot him. They were going to hang this guy. He looks super creepy. He kind of looks like Richard Ramirez, a little bit, like a blonde Richard Ramirez. Anyway, in Decker News, the Home Secretary may have acted unlawfully by pursuing the extradition of computer hacker Gary McKinnon. A high court judge said yesterday, extraditing McKinnon, an Asperger's sufferer who is facing a lengthy prison sentence in the U.S. for breaching U.S. military and NASA computers, raises stark and simple issues, Mr. Justice Mitting said. In the letter, the judge describes medical incident evidence that McKinnon would be at high risk of suicide in an American jail as yet unchallenged and unqualified. The evidence may require the Home Secretary to refuse to surrender McKinnon to the government of the USA. Mitting said in a letter yesterday, it is arguable that the Home Secretary's decision was unlawful. The decision was seen a dramatic change from the approach from the High Court in the previous hearings on McKinnon. His mother, Janice Sharp, said, I can't believe it. At some common sense at last. This judge has made such an honorable and decent decision. Gary's health has badly declined, and it's been traumatic to see. I hope this brings him comfort. The right decision will be made, even if it requires the courts to oppose, rather the government to reach it. Now, it goes on, you know, what are you doing? What the hell are you doing with this guy? Is Gary McKinnon a public threat? Is he going to hurt anybody? Has he done anything that's going to hurt anybody? No. He went, and he's like the ultimate hacker guy. He went looking for UFO stuff. Okay? Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, he's totally, this poor broken dude. You know, he never got anything that I'm aware of, you know. I mean, he's...
All he did was put egg on the face of the military, of the U.S., by getting into a back door through default passwords and blank passwords that they didn't secure with even a thought. Like, they didn't even try to secure
Well, I mean,
servers.
We shouldn't be surprised by that. Why not? They're running totally in-the-clear UAV video feeds for anyone with a set of rabbit ears to pick up. You know, and you're wondering why there might be an issue with the war on terror. I don't know what they think about... I'll tell you what I know about, you know, these terrorists and these Islamofascists so far that I know. And the one thing that I do know about them is they're not stupid. Okay? These people are very clever. Okay? They can do amazing things with electronics. Okay? With virtually nothing. You know? It makes me really angry. You know, and so what if the Americans got some egg on their face? Maybe they could wipe some of the fucking blood off. You know, seriously, come on. You know, you're not going to get anywhere by taking this poor bastard out and smacking the crap out of him. What are you doing? What are you doing? It's stupid. Let the kid go. Okay? Yeah, don't use the internet. We'll set up like a digital perimeter around your house. I promise you, it'll probably take you like weeks to get the guy to go near a computer after all this is over. Poor little dude. But anyway, I just don't think. I mean, seriously, let the guy go. He's not the enemy we are looking for. And we have illegal surveillance news. We have Simon Gilk, a lawyer, who is walking down the street in Boston, when he saw three police officers struggling to extract a plastic bag from a teenager's mouth. Without thinking, their force seemed excessive for a drug arrest, Gilt pulled out his cell phone and began recording. Now, right there, I'm kind of thinking, how in the fuck would you have any idea how much force is required for a drug arrest? Legal counsel. Have you been on a lot of drug arrests in law school? Did they put you in a car and, you know, drive you around in little circles and gave you a hand trying to fight with junkies? Did you do that? Is that part of the curriculum? So obviously, you know, you're clearly, because you're a lawyer, you have some idea about measured force inside of some sort of situation like this, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's been fully trained on measured force. Yeah. What I was thinking when I read this story is that he was hoping to represent the guy being beaten down. It's like, oh, yeah, I can get this on cell phone and I can win this case.
Like, you know, I totally would understand why the cops would just shoot him. Within minutes, Glick said he was in handcuffs. One of the officers asked me whether my phone had audio recording capabilities, Glick, 33, said recently when the incident, which took place in October 2007. Glick acknowledged that it did, and he said, my phone was seized and I was arrested. The charge? Illegal electronic surveillance. Yes. John Sermath, 34, had experienced a similar situation, thinking the Boston police were unnecessarily rough while breaking up a holiday party in Brighton. He was attending in December 2008. He took out his cell phone and began recording. Police confronted Sermez, a webmaster at the Boston University. He was arrested and, like Glick, charged with illegal surveillance. There is no hard statistics for video recording arrests, but experiences of Sermez and Glick highlighted what civil libertarians are calling a troubling misuse of the state's wiretapping law to stifle the kind of street-level oversight that cell phone and video technology make possible. The police apparently do not want witnesses to what they do in public. No, because they're thugs. They're being thugs. They're being employed as thugs. Okay, cops are not thugs. They're being used as thugs. All right?
Yeah.
They're given orders to do things that they've trained their whole lives to be police to do, and they either do those things or they become what? Their whole identity is tied up in this. You know what I mean?
We can't hold them accountable for the things that they do.
No,
that's
it's
horrible.
A little different. No. It's not this way or that. That doesn't give these guys carte blanche, you know, to go mental. But we need to stop using the police the way we do. We have a lot of really damaged cops. Okay, there's a lot of very, very broken cops. And I like the way that they do things in the Netherlands, where they do psych profiling and psych testing on the cops every three or 4 months, so that you don't just use and burn out and lose these cops. You take them and you can these people are dedicating their lives to serving the community. I'm sure we can find a use for these guys if they've been in the car too long. Okay, if they've been in too many fights. Maybe that's what's going on here. But the solution is not to start arresting people who videotape you. Okay, how Gestapo is this going to get? There's a lot of cops who aren't happy about this. You know, there's going to be a lot of cops who are unhappy about this. Cops never became cops to turn into Nazi stormtroopers. Nobody ever watched the Gestapo and said, I want to do that when I grow up. That doesn't happen. Okay, that isn't the case. But that's what they've become, and it's really tragic. And it's not, in a way, yeah, I suppose they have the ultimate authority. They could, you know, put the gun to their head and pull the trigger, because that's what walking away from that job is like. You may as well just start from scratch, and then you're an ex-cop, you know, and that's it. And how many of those are there floating around North America with their shattered psyches, trying to put their lives back together? You know, no, man, like, there's something very, very critically wrong with the law enforcement, paramedic, firefighter, rescue organizations that they have in Canada. They want to try to run the engine at maximum power when just before it explodes, and they just burn these guys out. There's no two guys in cars anymore. It's no wonder that you're having these sorts of issues that show up. We've seen this before. This is
cops. It's a heavy mental toll.
They are shell-shocked. These cops are shell-shocked. It's tragic, okay? And yeah, maybe some of them are so far gone now. I mean, they're like Bill Wolf. You know, like, what the hell? You know, how do you fix that? You know, it's completely broken. No, I'm not giving the cops carte blanche. You know, but I'm not going to be the first to say, oh, you pig, and throw him in the fire, because he didn't start out that way. You know what I mean? Like, everybody wants to give everybody else a second chance, except for the cops. except for the cops. And it's got a lot to do with a lot more issues that are going on within the police department. It has a lot to do with people trying to pick an easy target within the media. You know, and it's like, now that said, there's a lot of bad cops. A lot of bad cops out there. Kind of sucks. And, you know, if you look at like a lot of Asian countries, government officials and police are expected to be corrupted. Maybe one day it'll get that bad. I hope not. I hope not. I hope our ideals and everything would hold out. But there's that blackness of cynicism again. Also fueled by this next story on the Olympics Uber Alice news. Brought to you by Sumerian. Wonderful story, Sam. Thank you very much. Librarians. Okay, because we have this great library. So librarians are told to stand on guard for 2010 sponsors. Librarians are being asked to help police kids' events and other gatherings on their premises to make sure the brands of corporations like Coke and McDonald's get exclusive play during the 2010 Olympics. An internal memo obtained by the TAI advises Vancouver Public Library branches to protect Olympic sponsors. Do not have Pepsi or Dairy Queen sponsor at your event. Read the guidelines sent to the VPL branch and to its supervisory staff last fall. Coke and McDonald's are the Olympic sponsors. If you're planning a kids' event and approaching the sponsors, approach McDonald's and not another well-known fast food outlet. Do's and don'ts. Within less than a month until the Vancouver Games, local branches may decide to join in the excitement. They might plan an event linked to the torch relay or organize a community celebration. Just in case, VPL Manager of Marketing Communications, Jean Kavanaugh, came up with an extensive do's and don'ts, which was sent out sometime last October or November. As the games get close, it's kind of a reminder to people that they're doing the events, of some of the things to keep in mind. The guidelines mainly apply to the highly visible gatherings with 30 or more people. Branches are advised to ensure all equipment / goods meets Vanox sponsorship brand requirements for things like food, clothing, and merchandise. Your rules are very specific. It's fine if a TELUS employee agrees to be a speaker at a library-organized event, but staff can't forget Bell is the official sponsor. They should make sure the guests remove his or her TELUS jacket before entering the temple. Library. Before entering the library.
Yes.
Or you put tape over the labels. Okay? That is a dirty sign here. This is a sacred place. It belongs to the clown. And the red suit. And you, with your filthy, filthy taco dog, are not permitted within these sacred hallowed halls of Olympus. The same care must be taken for audiovisual equipment. The branch should try to get devices made by official sponsor Panasonic. Should staff only be able to find Sony equipment, the solution is simple. I would get some tape and put it over Sony, Kavanaugh said. Just a little piece of tape. They want you to sanitize the equipment the same way that I taught everybody to do it in patrolling season 2-1. When did I teach people how to sanitize? That has now become a Vanox standard where you are to sanitize your kit if it is not the specific brand. I think it's a fantastic idea, but I don't think you should
selective
stop
sanitization.
There. You know,
yeah, do it all.
It's the final
sanitize
solution at
everything.
The local library. Better yet, if you could just sort of take all their media, put it in a big pile, and burn it. That'd be good. We'll be having media burnings later in the evening. Other rules help solve potential sponsors' dilemmas. If you're approaching a business in your area for support, and there's a Rona or Home Depot, go to the Rona. If there's only a Home Depot, don't approach them as Rona is the official sponsor. Try some other small business. The memories. Do not shop here. As the TAI reported last week, corporate sponsorship is a fundamental reality of the Olympics. Multinational firms spend tens of millions of dollars to market themselves through the games. Domestic and international sponsorship revenue pays more than half of the Vanox $1.75 billion operating budget. Hey, I've got an idea. Screw the Olympics. Let's save Haiti this year. No? Wow, Why don't we just win a gold medal for compassion and stuff?
You know what they could do? They could sponsor a rescue effort. They could have McDonald's sponsor Haiti and rescue them. And have McDonald's over all the advertisements on the news and say, this rescue was sponsored by McDonald's.
You know?
Why not do that?
Wait for it, Simi. You shouldn't say stuff like that. That's, like, really disturbing. You know, that you just...
It is. It's
that,
really disturbing.
That's like... That's
this coming. Life was saved by McDonald's.
Holy crap. Your baby brought to you by...
Now you're owned by McDonald's because you owe your life to them.
And you got the commercials with the baby being delivered and the dad's crying.
It's a McDonald's baby.
It's my very own. And thank you, Kodak, for capturing all of this. You know. Oh my God,
yeah.
Anyway... When the Vancouver won the Games in 2003, it signed agreements in the International Olympic Committee to bolster sponsor rights. In 2007, the federal government gave VanOck considerable powers to protect the Games beyond local signing and legislation led to the action of the City of Vancouver last fall. VanOck did not ask us to do this. The library is a city department, and we do ensure our activities follow the correct protocols as the host city, Kavanaugh wrote in an email Monday morning. She denied receiving directions from Olympic organizers when she created the VPL guidelines. This has nothing to do with VanOck, she said in a later interview. VanOck did not ask us to do this. So she's throwing herself in the fire. Yeah, she's throwing herself in the fire is what she's doing. No, no! Kill me! My masters are not to blame. Only I, lowly Igor, thought to do this. Master is great. You know, same goes for the city, she added. Kavanaugh maintained she is a lone gunman. No, she relied on her own knowledge and initiative. I acted alone. Oh, God, don't look after me.
It's only me.
People are just glad to have good information, she said. You don't want to plan something if there's going to be a major problem. The Tie asked if major problems, for example, Pepsi-sponsored library event, would have major consequences. You're fishing around for something that's not there, she replied. We have a very good relationship with VanOck. City of Vancouver spokesperson Leslie Bolt says she hasn't received the memo. I don't think the city advised the library, and they have their own sponsorship policy, she said. Calls to Olympic organizers were not returned because they're a bunch of elitist pricks. You know, because that's what they're about. Now,
sponsored library. This, sponsored information.
The logo that everyone should be using for the Olympics is the four happy faces and the one sad face logo.
Yes.
Because there was a street
that's
mural
a good one.
They forced to take down. Because it was a piece of art in a gallery that was hanging on a gallery. This gallery on the east side, it was a cheap gallery, and somebody made that painting, put it up. It was the Olympic logo, all the five rings, and there were all these different colors except for one ring, and they were all happy faces except for one set of rings that was a sad face. And they made them take it down for copyright violation. And that's the reality of the world we live in, kids! Absolutely! So you better get a helmet. Things have gone from bad to worse. You know? Now, also keeping with the 2010 theme, we've got the Cyber Dojo in Cyberpunk Kit. This is pretty Cyberpunk Kit. As any soldier will tell you, constant and realistic drill forms the foundation of any successful military action. Any soldier will tell you that. That's what this guy says. Which is maybe not be true. There's a lot of really shitty soldiers. Well, whereas an infantryman can hone his aim at a firing range, America's internet warriors don't have a similar venue for developing their skills at cyber war. But DARPA hopes a $51 million network simulation, complete with computer programs that behave like human targets and adversaries, will provide an arena for developing the next generation of cyber weapons and tactics. The simulation, called the National Cyber Range, first went public last year. But yesterday, the cash needed to get this project moving was finally doled out. Johns Hopkins received $24.8 million for the project, while Lockheed Martin walked away with $30 million for the project. Lockheed's contract is significant, as its defense industry competitor Northrop Grumman actually won the Phase 1 grant in 2009. According to DARPA, the NCR will realistically replicate human behavior and frailties and provide realistic, sophisticated, nation-state, quality offensive and defensive opposition forces. Basically, a computer program acting like real people will populate a virtual world that cyber warriors will attempt to disrupt or save, depending on the mission. Even more impressive, is that the automation of the virtual population the size of the simulation. DARPA hopes that the NCR will be able to simulate the entire internet, allowing soldiers to drill virtual simulations ranging from small-scale computer virus to a World War III size conflict. So this is essentially just like a network that they're like $51 million, like...
Wow. They'll never get us in Second Life.
Yeah. You know, that's what we need. We need to get some of that government dole out, you know, money for Second Life. That's what we should do. And then we can go completely.
That's right. We should be the defensive force of Second Life so that invaders cannot destroy it.
Yeah, we'll come up with some patches, you know, and we'll work on my whole expedition plan thing. And you know, moving, you know, the whole Life Aquatic route, you know, that'll be good. Today's daily hack, this is actually pretty cool. Morph Sky Tower pulled this out at the last minute, is a do-it-yourself laser perimeter using an Arduino to set up a laser tripwire. The laser is mounted along the Arduino, reflecting off a mirror, and shines off a photoresistor that interfaces via a voltage divider. The signal over the voltage divider is monitored for charge when the laser beam is broken. You break the beam, it can actually go and Twitter an event for easy notification. So we're talking about, like... remote login. You could build quite a security system with this. You could monitor like a whole bunch of sites with this. Holy crap, that's pretty impressive.
Notifies you immediately. You can see what's happening at your place.
Very cool. And then of course you can just, you know, release the monkey from his internet releasable cage, right? Which is totally.
And watch it all on webcam.
Yeah, it's like, oh no! And your Recomedia this week is Joel Garel. It's he wrote this book called Radical Evolution, The Promise and Peril of Enhancing Our Minds, Our Bodies, and What It Means to Be Human. Very Ghost in the Shell. And they had this guy on Coast to Coast the other night. And if you go to the Recomedia part, you'll be able to download all three hours of the show. Ha-ha! Good transhumanist stuff for ya. Who doesn't like it? Hey, it's good. And... that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. If you cannot donate to this program, please spread the problem around. Distribute it. Give this problem to somebody else. Find somebody you think would enjoy this problem and give that problem to them. But if you can donate, please do so by clicking on the Donate tab anywhere within the Rant Media Empire. There's always a space where you can go to say, give us money, because God knows we need it. And I'm way better than the drunk guy who you threw the change at the other day.
Right. Sean needs his coffee. Please give enough money for Sean's coffee.
I've actually done really well with that, I should state. I've stopped buying coffee.
Oh, yeah. Good.
Yeah.
Very good.
While I'm at work. You know, because I work in the city.
Well, that's a little step. It's a little step.
Well, yeah, it's realistic goals. Getting off of coffee, man, especially if you're a slave to the green bean, man. Like, if you're hooked up on the Starbucks guys, I mean, they've got the good crack, right? So you got
to
be...
they're making a mint off people that are addicted to coffee. Tons of coffee places in Vancouver. It's unbelievable.
Oh, it's brutal. So, I mean, I'm not against coffee. I think coffee's fine. I just don't want to pay for it. Right, I don't be paying for like $6 for a latte. If I get free lattes, hell yeah, I'll kill people and take their lattes.
That's right. Sean hangs out at the Starbucks waiting for people's coffees to come up. And he just grabs them and runs.
Yeah, and I'm like a coffee, you know, hostage.
Free coffee, woo!
You know, I dress up like a chicken and steal his coffee because they never see it coming. But yeah, I'm trying not to be coffee. But you know, there's other things that we need to do, like a ship and, you know, all that good Team Zisu stuff. So that's what you need to donate for. And I want to thank the Army of the Flying Monkeys for their assistance in gathering data. If you have information you would like to send me, you can reach me at newsreel@rantradio.com. And be sure to sign up for the Rant newsletter by sending an email to info@rantradio.com. That way you get all the latest and greatest, the things that are coming on and coming out, going on, all that sort of thing. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you check out some Psytrance. And fading out now, as promised, with the track... from La Costa Nostra. Yeah, La Costa Nostra, called I'm an American, which I'm pretty amazed that I remember the name of that band, because I'm just doing that totally off the top of my head. Is it La Costa Nostra or is it La Coca Nostra?
Casa Nostra. Casa Nostra.
Casa Nostra?
Cosa, yeah.
Cosa, Casa.
Yeah, you got it right. Costa Nostra.
It is Costa Nostra. Sweet! Okay, good deal.
Nice.
You got anything, Simi?
No, I'm good.
You're good? All right, boys, we'll see and girls, we'll see you all later. Remember, everyone, we will never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats. So until next time, that's what Server said. End of line.
To a new generation of Americans.
I must put the interests of America first. People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook.
The United States of America is the demon of the world.
I'm a product of America, you psychotic from narcotics, born consumers of STDs, yeah, I got it. A victim of a media machine, violence and lust, top to bottom and greedy in between. I'm a menace with big dreams, and no morals to stop me from none. I gotta get mine, that's why I went and caught me a gun. Police would put me in a cage if they could lock me in one. These dudes would kill me out of jealousy, they pop me and run. Shit, I'm bloodthirsty too, we were raised with foul ways. It's in everything we watch and listen to nowadays. And the younger kids are way more depraved. We're hunger for peace, some will run around the neighborhood crazy. Land of the free, home of the brave, my world is a morgue. One day I lay alone in the grave, still my dome is enslaved. In the haze of the power I crave, I can't help it, this is how I was raised.
It's a conspiracy, I hit the scene like spinning guillotines. Villains creep through your village deep while idiots sleep. I'm awake, dominate, annihilate, I violate, obliterate, incinerate, exterminate. I'm an American, murder, hate, violence, and war. Tyrants galore, riots and more, violent uproar. The rise of the poor, we monitor all. Everybody sign at the door, so walk out now, but you may never survive it all. We murder capitals, turn hometowns to homicides. TNT, 1080 common lines. My take on society is beyond the fabrications that they prophesize. Colonize through modern lies, economize and sodomize. Humanity every day, vanity scrape, gravity tape, holding your sanity weight. This is not an exercise, this is real life. Salvage your fate, contaminated planet of hate. The children sing a passage of fate. Lavish chase was the train of Alexander the Great. Savage race gravitate to mathematics and space. Like Dr. Shaft in the plate, like the others, these cannibals say, I'm an American. I'm an American.
I'm completely irrational, I'm unrealistic. Got the right to talk shit, got the right to bear arms. I bring disease, I bring famine with some guns and some bombs. Got my four-horse squad, my lightning rod. Men of beef with the devil, not fight for God. I'm from the Highland clans, I'm on some stolen lands. The crown jewel in the new world, order plans. Get your quarter cam, place your order, man. Step up right this way to the slaughter land. While every one of your freedoms got emancipated, you just surfed on the net, you masturbated. We got hoes, we got
wearing a black hoodie and living life like a predator. Hated his life, embarrassed to being alone. The little he knows will get him. My past ass down of his head blown. It's known we live in the land of the lost. Could have been a leader or put on a cross. Needed to push for his cause, breaking laws. Now he's a felon, the system is flawed. Praying to God every day of his life, fighting the odds. He wants a piece of the pie, the gleam in his eye. American dream in his mind led him astray in his ride. Inside of his cell, he put his whole family through hell and broke it apart, breaking his mother's heart. He started in school when he was on the path to losing his mind. Whatever happened and no child gets left behind. Just another slogan I'm hoping that you can comprehend. I'm born to struggle, I'm an American.
I'm an American. American, 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 American.